Let's get our Bibles and turn together to the book of Psalms this evening, back to Psalm 119. I am having a little difficulty trying to remember which sermons I've preached down here and which ones I preached up in Woodland Park. I think I preached this one in Woodland Park only. So if you hear an echo, maybe I didn't, but we're coming to, this is the 13th installment. We'll be going into the 16th. So this is one from a few sections back. Verses 97 through 104 will be the text this evening. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. And let's give again tonight our careful hearing and attention to God's holy and infallible word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we want to pause and ask that you would grant us the illuminating work of your Holy Spirit so that we might come to not only hear, but do your word as a result of being here this evening. So please bless us to that end, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever met a kid who actually likes cauliflower? If you have, and if you know one that does, you recognize that's actually not normal. Most kids don't love cauliflower. It's also the case that it's often hard to find young people that really love and treasure the Word of God. The message this evening is actually going to be aimed at children, but it's kind of like Walt Disney. I'm talking about children who are 1 to 92 and even older. This message is really aimed at every one of us. And I want to ask all of the children, again, ages 1 to 90s, I want to ask you two questions as we begin this evening. The first is, and I think sometimes kids, you might be really interested in this, would you like to be wiser than the older people in your life? I mean, would you like to know more than your teachers? Would you like to know more than your parents? Would you like to know more than the aged? Wouldn't it be great to have a better understanding than all of those people in your life that are older than you, your teachers, the aged, the wise, your parents? Wouldn't it be great to have a better understanding than them about the important things of life? So would you like that? Would you like to be, we could say it this way, would you like to be smarter than your parents? And secondly, would you like to be able to eat as much sweets as you want? My guess is that you come tonight and you're not able to eat as much sweets as you want. Your parents totally cram your style. You want to eat sweets, but they will not allow you to eat that. Parents are killjoys like that. They don't let us do whatever we want. But wouldn't it be great to be able to eat as much sugar or sweet things as you possibly want? Well, if I told you tonight that you can know more than your parents and that you can eat as much sweets as you want, wouldn't that be great? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just, our pastor said you could do it. Our pastor said we can do this. Well, here's the thing. And here's the secret, actually. Your parents actually want you to be wiser than they are. In fact, your parents are praying that you will have a greater understanding than they do. And your parents actually want you to eat as much of the sweetest thing in existence, as much as you want and as often as you want. And I want us to think about this tonight by beginning to think about the question or the subject of being smarter, or it might be better to say being wiser than your teachers. I want you to notice, and so all of you young people, that went to everybody in the room, all you kids here tonight, I'd like you to have your Bibles open because I want you to see this in the Word of God. Notice right there in verse 97 that the psalm writer begins by saying, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation," or meaning that is my study. It's what I think about all the day. And then notice what he says in the first line of the next three verses. So that was 97, but notice what the psalmist says in the first line of the next three verses, verse 98. "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies." Verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." And verse 100, "I understand more than the aged." Well, there it is. There's being wiser than your enemies. And by the way, that is not your brother and your sister. You can be wiser than your enemies. You can have more understanding than your teachers. And you can have more wisdom than the aged. That is actually your parents there. But I want us to dig deeper here, and I want us to think about, how does this happen? What makes this happen? What is the thing that will enable you to have greater understanding than your teacher, your parents, the older people in your life? Well, simply put, and what this section shows us very clearly is that it is the Word of God. This is what makes this happen. It's the Word of God, it's the Bible that enables us to be wiser even than our teachers. That is to say, it's not, the Scriptures are telling you very clearly, it's not by going to class longer than everybody else or by trying harder in certain subjects or reading more school books. Or for some of you older ones, by having more experiences in the world. That's not what makes you wiser and gives you more understanding than your teachers or the aged. Rather, you become smarter than your teachers by meditating on. That is, thinking deeply about the Scriptures. Again, I'd like you to look at the second line in each of the first three verses here. Look at verse 97. "It is my meditation all the day." Look at verse 98, the second line. "It is ever before me." And then verse 99, "Your testimonies are my meditation." And so it's God's Word. And it is you spending time in it that makes you wiser than people older than you, and that gives you greater understanding than your teachers. And yes, this is the kind of wisdom, this is the kind of understanding that your parents want you to have. Each of your parents would love it. I mean, I know this without even going around and asking each one of your parents, but I know every Christian parents would love it if their children grew up to know the Word of God in a greater way than they do. That they would have a better understanding. Your parents long for you to have a more fervent faith, to have a more consistent walk than they have. And for this to happen, you need to learn to meditate on God's Word. In other words, spending time in it, spending time thinking about it, spending time studying it, prioritizing it in your daily life. Some of you, it needs to be a new thing in your life, spending time actually just caring about it. Do I even care about the Word of God? But that's not all. There's more to say on this, because study and meditation is what makes one wiser. In other words, it's the thing. It's kind of if you can't get wiser, you can't get greater understanding apart from the Word. But I want us to ask maybe a more important question, or a more probing question, or at least a secondary type of question. We know that that's what makes it happen. The Word makes us grow and mature and gives us greater understanding and wisdom. But how does the Word do that? How does this actually happen? Well, there's a very important ingredient that actually cannot be missed that has to accompany your Bible reading, your Bible study, your Bible hearing. When you hear a sermon preached, or you hear the Bible read, whether that's in service here or it's in your own family's devotional time, if you're going to be smarter than your teachers, if you're going to be wiser than the age, you have to have this other ingredient. And that's found at the beginning of the second line of verse 100. And it goes on through verses 101 and 102. I want you to look there. So look at the second line of verse 100 and then keep going through 101 and 102. For I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Do you see that? Are you hearing what the psalmist is saying? To be smarter than your teachers, you have to do more than just be a hearer of the word. You also have to be a doer of the word. You could sit under a lot of preaching. You could read the Bible a lot. But if there's no intention and there's no follow-up to that hearing and reading with doing, then you're not going to grow. You have to be a doer of the Word. So we're not being called here just to fill ourselves up with Bible facts, so that we might someday win a quiz off at a camp or something like that. That's not what the Scriptures are calling us to do. We are to be filling ourselves up with information from the Bible, but we have to be doing the Word. The doing of the Word is the essential ingredient in being smarter than the wise. The Word makes it happen when we do it. The Word, the Lord blesses His Word to make us wiser when we do His Word. There are a lot of people, and I think we need to think and search our own hearts tonight. There are a lot of people who listen. There are a lot of people who have set many years of their lives in a church, hearing the Word read, hearing the Word preach. There are a lot of people who listen. There are not a lot of people who really believe what they hear and who are really moved to action by what they hear. Now, I hope that you can see that I'm not encouraging you to be prideful, to be disrespectful, to go around telling people that you're smarter than your parents and smarter and better than your teachers. Rather, God is saying here that if you will love His law and meditate upon it and seek to obey it, if you will really value it, then you will grow in grace and wisdom and understanding. But I want us to now consider eating as much sweets as you want. Maybe your thing wasn't being smarter than your parents. You really like sweets, and that's what you were waiting for us to get to tonight. I think you probably realize, all of you probably realize, that I'm not encouraging you to eat as much candy and cookies and sugar as you want. I'm playing with words tonight. What I mean is what is said here in verse 103 particularly. Look at verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If you will spend time in the Word of God, and if you will meditate upon it, and if you will put it into action, the Word of God will become sweeter and sweeter to your taste there will be an increasing desire to eat more of it. But it's important, I think, at this point, as we're thinking about these things together, and I think it's very important for you young people, again, maybe around age 1 to 90s, it's important, I think, to remember that sometimes when you're young, you don't like certain foods that older people like. And that's actually normal. That's why I brought up the issue of cauliflower. I mean, not many kids like cauliflower. Tend to find more grown-ups that actually like it than young people that like it. And I think many of you young people could probably think about certain things that your parents eat right now that you think are gross, that you don't want to eat. They don't taste good to you. Well, that's actually part of being young. Sometimes we don't like things. And grown-ups eat things that we don't like. But this is also true of certain things in the church and with being a Christian. It's actually fairly common for young people to not think that the Bible tastes good all the time. Sometimes it can seem sort of dry. Sometimes the Bible can seem sort of boring. Sometimes it can seem very hard to understand. And again, I think it's sometimes kids maybe around 1 to 92 experience that. Sometimes the Bible's just hard. Sometimes we find that we don't have a fervent taste for it. And God knows this about you, and God still loves you, even when you don't desire His Word. In fact, loving the Word of God, thinking it tastes good, desiring it more and more, is actually part of that righteousness and that holiness that is available to us in Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus loved the Word of God from day one in His life. In fact, He was the Word of God made flesh. His parents found Him when He was 12 years old in the temple after losing Him for like 3 days, sitting with the Bible teachers. Can you imagine when you're 12 years old, sitting with the Bible teachers, asking them questions, and we read there that they were all amazed at His understanding and His answers. In other words, Jesus was not normal. He amazed everybody around Him for having that kind of an appetite, that kind of a fervent love for the Word of God at 12 years old. He was different than most other kids because He was the perfect Son of God, as well as the son of Joseph. He craved and read and meditated on the Word of God like we all should. And that is why He is ultimately our wisdom. And He is our righteousness in this very area. Do you wish, let me ask you to think about this tonight, search your heart, and particularly you young people. I mean, don't you wish that you understood the Word of God better than you do as you sit here tonight? Do you wish that you would not be so distracted by all the different things in the world, but that you somehow actually wanted and valued and desired to spend quality time thinking on Scripture? That you would just naturally love to meditate on it? Don't you wish you loved the Bible more than you do? Well, here is good news for you then. There is one who loved the Word of God perfectly in our place. There is one who meditated on the Word of God as we should. There's one who was wiser than all of His teachers, who had all understanding, and to whom The Word of God was sweeter than honey. And God offers him to you as your wisdom, as your righteousness, and as your Savior tonight. But there's even more than that. Not only is Jesus given as our righteousness in this area of what should be true of us. In other words, not only is Jesus given to us as our righteousness and our obedience in this area of how we should be loving and how we should be obeying and prioritizing the Word of God more than anything else in life. All of that is credited to us when we have Him as our Lord and Savior. But all of this is also being, and this is part of your salvation, that love and that taste and that desire for the Word of God is also being worked in you. God has given a promise that He will increasingly make you love His Word. He will increasingly conform you to the image of His Son. And so not only does Jesus obey all of that and have all of that desire that we should have, but He's granted us His Holy Spirit to begin to make us more and more like Him in that very area. And I say that tonight because it becomes dangerous, I think, when we hear over and over again, we read the Psalms, and we read of the insatiable desire that the psalmist has for the Word of God. And sometimes we compare ourselves with the psalmist and we say, but I don't know if I'm there. I don't seem to love it as much as he does. The good news is, ultimately, the psalmist is talking about your Savior. And he's talking about a righteousness that you can have in Him and a conformity that will happen as you are united to Him. So you young people, I don't want you to feel condemned when you struggle with a love for the Word. That should drive you back to the One who loved it, ultimately and perfectly. And then to desire to be conformed more to that. God, make me one who loves it more. Increasingly change. We might think of it this way. God has promised to change your spiritual taste buds. He's promised to make you desire something that naturally you don't desire. And the more that you walk with Him, the more that you trust Him, the more that you learn about Him, more and more by His Spirit, He begins to change our spiritual taste buds. Your parents are praying that your taste buds will change. Jesus has given His Holy Spirit to you to actually change them. And you should begin praying. And you should begin believing and living like God will change your tastes and give you a love and a craving to be in and to meditate upon His Word so that you can be wiser than your parents, have more understanding than your teachers in the age, and so that you can eat all the sweets that you ever want to eat. When God's Word becomes that sweetest thing in all of life, no one will stop you from eating as much as you want. I want to end with just making one comment on how then maybe this might happen in an increasing way. One way that your tastes will change is when you begin to see the Bible not just as a big fact book full of strange religious talk, but rather when you begin to understand that the Bible is actually the living Word of God that was actually lived out and fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. These things are written of Him. And when we approach the Scriptures as this is actually the living Word of my Savior, He Himself was actually the Word incarnate. That's when we begin to love the Word more than just a book that seems sometimes to be dry to us. And to that end, I'd like us to end with something of a normal devotional exercise I've been doing at the end of the sermons in Psalm 119. And I want us to do this exercise trying to see Jesus as the Word, reading this section in light of Him. And so as your eyes are there in the text there, verses 97 through 104, let me read these in light of Christ. Oh, how I love your Son. I think about Him all the day. Knowing Christ makes me wiser than my enemies, for by His Spirit He is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for I think of Jesus all the time. I understand more than the aged, for I am being conformed to His likeness. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to be more like Christ. I do not turn aside from pursuing Him, for I am His disciple. How sweet Christ has become to me, sweeter even than honey to my mouth. By knowing your Son, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Let's bow in prayer together. Father, we pray tonight that you would bind these things upon our hearts. Lord, make us not mere hearers, but doers of your word. Lord, we wait upon you. We need your Spirit's work within us to give us an appetite and a taste and a longing and a desire for your word. Make it sweet to us. Make it desirable to us. Father, I pray for this congregation that you would increase its appetite for your word. That our young people and our old people would love it. And that we would see and we would experience in our own lives the tangible work of your Spirit as He changes our tastes, weaning us off of the things of this world and onto your Word, both written form and incarnate. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that He is the Word made flesh. Increase our love for Him. Make us more like Him. For we pray in His name. Amen.